Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And not just a Monday to start off a new week, a national championship Monday in men's college basketball following national title Sunday in the women's NCAA tournament. In a stunner and a shocking development that will have seismic ramifications across college hoops next year and beyond to start off your national championship Monday morning. We get you set for everything live right here on this Monday on the Early Line. Donnie and I will be here on the day of solar eclipse as well until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we're excited for this day. It's going to be a big one, no doubt about it. And also the crescendo at the end of the day that is going to be Purdue versus UConn. And we told the people, you might have to struggle a little bit on Saturday. Double-digit victories in both games. We're going to get exactly what we planned for on Monday night, and it's going to be fun to watch and also include an unbelievable women's college basketball tournament this weekend, which saw an undefeated team cut down the Nets, a third national championship for South Carolina, which was great to watch. The NBA, if you haven't checked the standings on Monday morning, Ben and I, we got you covered. It's unbelievable, the final 3 to 4 games of the season this week coming up. So hold on to your hats, people. We got you covered on the Early Line.
We have less than 1 week remaining in the NBA regular season. This upcoming Sunday is the end of the regular year before the NBA postseason begins. But a stunning morning already in college basketball following National Championship Sunday in Cleveland at the 2024 Women's NCAA Tournament. We welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here to our opening hour of the opening day of a new week. It's a Monday morning live right here on the Early Line. You're listening on Sirius XM, Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. So we start with a recap of a national championship on Sunday, a game we were all hoping for, the revenge tour for South Carolina, who in 75 games the last 2 years only have one loss. It's to the Iowa Hawkeyes, but they got their revenge yesterday to cap off an undefeated season here in 2024. 38-0. Don Staley's Gamecocks, a national champion for the third time in the last 7 years, 87-75, the victory over Iowa. The Hawkeyes exploded in the opening quarter. Caitlin Clark, in her final collegiate game, had 18 points in that first quarter. But from then on out, the talent and the depth of South Carolina won out. Third national championship for Don Staley and her Gamecocks. They win by 12. They cover as a 7.5-point favorite in the women's NCAA tournament title game.
It was fantastic to watch it yesterday. And also, we're going to expound on this certainly over the next 3 hours. But just my takeaway, the women's game is on solid footing right now. Dawn Staley winning 3 national championships. It feels like, we know how good Caitlin Clark is and how great she was this season, last season, and for college basketball, however long she was in Iowa for the past 4 years. But let's be honest with us. Dawn Staley brought college basketball back herself, because pretty much, Ben, it was UConn and nobody else. And she went and built a powerhouse in South Carolina and said, you know what? We might get a little more parity than UConn winning every single championship. So shout out South Carolina. Shout out Dawn Staley. College basketball, particularly the women's game, back in such a big way with superstars all over the place. And quite frankly, Dawn Staley might be the biggest superstar of them all.
We're going to have a full recap about this game, the legacy for South Carolina, the legacy for Caitlin Clark and women's college basketball in general. But I hope you enjoyed this weekend, a historic weekend in women's college hoops. It's the crescendo of the sport, but it does not stop here. The elevation continues. Now to the shocking news late on a Sunday night. I can't even make fun of my co-host, Donnie Wrightside, for being asleep when this news broke, because I was as well, and maybe you were. Maybe you're reading what is on the left, that rundown of what we're going to discuss, and you're like, John Calipari to Arkansas? Cal is leaving Kentucky after 15 years for Arkansas? Yes, it happened last night. A big booster for the Razorbacks, John Tyson of Tyson Chicken, you know, that processed food conglomerate and heir to the throne. Well, he's good friends with Calipari, and reportedly Arkansas is paying Cal about $8 million a year to leave Lexington and go to Fayetteville. Donnie, my head can still hardly wrap around this stunning news. What do you make of it?
Look, Tyson's been known for their free-ranging chickens out here in Calipari. Ranges from Kentucky over to Arkansas. No pre and probiotics, whatever I like to say. No chemicals induced. This is a big chemical reaction, Ben. In the SEC, this is a ground shake. Overnight. You like the earthquakes last week? This was an earthquake in the SEC. I love it, because now it brings Arkansas into the forefront. You want to talk about a rivalry now with Kentucky? I love everything about this move here. It's great to wake up to that news.
Plenty more reaction coming from Cal leaving Lexington and Big Blue Nation to join the Woo Pig Sweet Hogs in Fayetteville later in the show. Now we go to the NBA. Only 1 week remains in the remainder of this regular season, and some drama yesterday. The Clippers down by 26 against the Cleveland Cavaliers in L.A. matinee. Come all the way back, and with 7 seconds left, Paul George delivers the game winner. L.A. victorious over Cleveland yesterday, 120-118.
Yeah, the shakeup here in the standings is incredible, and you win if you're the Clippers. That's a great comeback, but also take a look from the Cavs picture. I'll tell you, the two through basically eight seeds in the East feel like they're up for grabs. 3 games left here. What a tremendous finish, and what a crushing blow for the Cavaliers.
The Cavs have now lost 3 straight. They fall all the way into the 5 spot in the Eastern Conference, and it might not end there. The Clippers, a pretty strong stronghold on that 4th seed in the Western Conference. What is happening to the Milwaukee Bucks? They have lost 4 straight games, booked as the favorite in all, 3 of the 4 as a double-digit favorite, and the New York Knicks go into the Pfizer Forum yesterday and win big. 122-109, the Knickerbockers winning outright as a 4.5-point dog.
Should have been paying more attention to this game. Why? Because my guy, Tay-Tay, 8 of 11 from 3-point range. You had Brunson out here with 43 points, a big victory. But I don't even know if I can say this anymore. Is that a big victory for the Knicks going in without multiple starters and taking down the Bucks? Everybody takes down the Bucks lately here, including Doc Rivers, taking the Bucks down with them here.
I mean, it is really mind-boggling for the Bucks at this juncture of the NBA season. How about a 52-point performance out of Tyrese Maxey? No Joel Embiid yesterday for the Sixers on the road in San Antonio. It goes to double OT, but behind 52 from Maxey, the Sixers win 133-126 over San Antonio in San Antonio.
Schedule looks really good for the Philadelphia 76ers moving forward to the final couple games here. Can they actually get out of the play-in round? It looks like that could be a possibility, but the Sixers coming back multiple times late in that game from the depths of L's into W's, Ben. Oh, Sixers. Nobody wants to see the Sixers, Ben. Nobody.
1 game out of the 6th spot. Now we go quickly to Major League Baseball. The Marlins winless no longer. Now 1-9 as they knock off St. Louis for their first win yesterday. Oh, by the way, it's Masters week. Akshay Bhatia, he got the final win before we get to the first major championship of this season. Women's National Championship game recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a 48-hour run for college basketball. Women's national championship game on Sunday afternoon. A game that was promised. A game that delivered between South Carolina and Iowa. It's national championship Monday in the men's NCAA tournament. And sandwiched in between, stealing the headlines somehow, some way, John Calipari leaves Kentucky to now be the new head coach at Arkansas. But we start with the recap of the women's national title game yesterday in Cleveland. 2-1 seeds facing off. South Carolina playing its 75th game of the last two seasons yesterday. And they had won 73 of 74 prior. The only team to knock off the Gamecocks in the last 2 years, the Iowa Hawkeyes, last year in the Final Four. Would South Carolina get its revenge, or would the Hawks, in their second consecutive national championship game, finally win their first national title in program history? There's a reason Don Staley is building a legacy, a dynasty, and frankly, an empire in Columbia, South Carolina. The Gamecocks emerge victorious, 87-75. South Carolina wins and covers as a 7.5-point favorite. Pace frenetic from the jump. Offense on display. We go well over a pregame total of 159.5. Third national championship for South Carolina since 2017. The second in the last 3 years. Don Staley, in my estimation right now, with all respect to the legend that is Gino Auriemma, is the best coach in college basketball. Her third national championship yesterday.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, South Carolina, welcome to the pantheon of legendary coaches and now legendary programs. Before it's all said and done, it's hard to say that you're always going win because the women's game is on great, as I said, solid footing. There's parity. There's multiple teams that can win championships and make it a run, but I would be surprised. Don Staley has three national championships. I'd be surprised if she doesn't get at least five or more when it's all said and done. And also, there's a little bit of Alabama here in Don Staley, which means we're going to reload. I'm going to tell my guys, we're going to get them motivated and step up, because when you lose your starting five from last year and you reload with McDonald's All-American five-star athletes, that's a sign of a healthy program. There's no like, hey, man, we had our run. We built up for 4 years. Our starters were there. Now it's going to take time to get back. No, they went wire to wire this year. No losses at a major Division I school here. Great. With so much parity in women's college basketball. How impressive that was. But let's also talk about, Ben, how we got to this point. We always thought South Carolina entering into the tournament would be in the final. But we got an unbelievable performance and some controversy on Friday night for Iowa moving on past UConn. And I wasn't on the air since that took place. I just want to say, look, we never want to see a call make a difference in a national champion spot because we love the climactic moment. Who knows if a shot would have went up, if it would have went in, if UConn would have moved on. But it was pretty clear a foul in that instance where it was an offensive foul. And I know there's outrage to get there, but we got what we wanted. Iowa versus South Carolina and an unbelievable start in that first quarter overall, but too big, too fast, too strong. South Carolina, they were the better team coming in, and they showed their might in quarters 2, 3, and 4, Ben. So it was impressive the way it actually played out and went there with that South Carolina game. But I was really impressed overall with how Iowa came out because, quite frankly, I mean, if you're following on Twitter or social media yesterday, could you have had a better performance in the first quarter than we've seen from Iowa? Like, oh my goodness, they're actually going to do this at this point. They're actually going to dominate. Crazy stuff here, Ben. At the end of the first quarter, I thought Caitlin Clark was going for 50-plus yesterday.
Yeah, as did I, DRS. She was 5 of 8 from the floor. She scored 18 points in the opening 10 minutes. It was the most points recorded in a single quarter in the history of the women's national championship game of the NCAA tournament. 5 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. But following that point, they made the adjustments defensively. And Raven Johnson for South Carolina stepped up on that end of the floor in a big way. From the end of the first quarter, Caitlin Clark was 5 of 20 from the field for the rest of the game and only 2 of 9 from 3. We will talk about her legacy. We will talk about her final game at the collegiate level as an Iowa Hawkeye in just a moment. But let's give all the compliments in the world to South Carolina. A great basketball team. This team last year that was upended in the Final Four by the Hawkeyes lost all their starting five. It was a completely new starting five for the Gamecocks this year, and they go undefeated, the fifth program ever in women's college hoops, to cap off an undefeated season with a national championship. And part of that is the freshman that stepped up in the biggest way yesterday. Tessa Johnson off the bench, 19 points. Malaysia Fulwiley, 12 points off the bench as well. Really started a spurt for the Gamecocks to end out the opening quarter when they needed it after Iowa and Caitlin Clark blitzed them. There was a 37-0 bench differential in favor of South Carolina over Iowa. South Carolina in their six wins in the NCAA tournament, winning by double digits in all but one game. That was the Sweet 16 against Indiana. But they cover in both games in the Final Four. Again, that is what Dawn Staley has built in Columbia. Three national championships since 2017. And in the last 3 years, Donnie, this blows my mind. They lost to Kentucky in the SEC tournament title game back in March of 2022. In the 81 games now since that point, they have won two national championships. They have appeared in three Final Fours. They have won 80 of those 81 games. In the last three seasons, South Carolina has 109-3 record. That is a 97.3% win percentage. Again, what Dawn Staley has cooking in Columbia is going to continue to cook for a very long time for South Carolina.
It certainly is. And unless she gets lured away, but I don't know what program you get lured away from when you're basically the pantheon of college basketball
Kentucky.
Right now. Of course, we know you. Of course, yeah, exactly. She can, and also, like I joked yesterday, like Dawn Staley coming back to coach Temple, which she did for what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years here in the city of Philadelphia. We're moving on. She can come back here and probably take any men's job she wants in college basketball that could be up for grabs. She's that good of a coach from the X's and O's and also bring in the top tier talent. We have to remind ourselves, right? It wasn't like one of those where, okay, Dawn Staley went to be an assistant coach out of Gino Auriemma, stayed there for 15 years, took over for Gino, and still away they went. She built that program in South Carolina. I don't want to say from scratch because it'll be respectful from a, you know, an SEC perspective, but bringing them up to now, they are the premier program in college basketball and aren't going anywhere at this point.
Sure.
It was fun to watch you play all the way through, and I can't get enough of you rebuild, you reload. Like, it's not as if, hey, look, we have five McDonald's All-Americans that have played three straight years together, and we're still going to be here for the final year. When you have complete new starting lineup and have to mesh that through, and it wasn't like Ben was like, you know what? Hey, the let's talk about Calipari in Kentucky. Well, let's get these young kids to really mesh during the first part of the season, and hopefully we catch fire once we hit March Madness. They went unbeaten. They're on fire all season long. Impressive stuff all the way through to Dawn Staley and the crew. But who knows? Next year, another national championship? Probably so.
38 games, 38 wins, and a national title. And they will be the national title favorites entering 2024-25, unlike this year when they did not even have one of the five best prices because of a completely retooled starting five. Now, Camila Cardoso is going to the WNBA. She's going to be one of the five top picks that we see in the WNBA draft exactly 1 week from today. And the 6'7 big was sensational against Iowa. 15 points, 17 rebounds. South Carolina dominated on the glass. She had three blocks. But Tessa Johnson, the leading scorer yesterday, who hit three triples, is a freshman. Nina Pau-Pau, she's a senior, but she has a 46% three-point shooting percentage this year. Malaysia Fulwiley, again, a freshman off the bench. South Carolina in a very good spot. We'll have some time on the other end of this break because of our technical difficulties. We didn't get to everything we wanted to here in this segment. So we'll recap on Caitlin Clark's legacy now that her time in college basketball has come to a close following her final game in a Hawkeyes uniform yesterday. Then we'll look back on the Final Four on a Saturday night out in Phoenix and set the stage for National Championship Monday in the men's NCAA tournament here in 2024. Plenty of college hoops in this opening hour comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
National Championship Sunday blends into National Championship Monday. Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. All congratulations to South Carolina. Dumb on it. Perfect, undefeated, 38-0 for a national championship this year and a 12-point victory in that national title game in Cleveland yesterday over the Iowa Hawkeyes. The third national championship for South Carolina since 2017, second in the last three seasons. But as you celebrate one, there is the agony of defeat on the other side, especially in the final game of a historic, iconic and legendary career of Caitlin Clark at Iowa. Yesterday was her final game in collegiate basketball, her final game as a member of the Hawkeyes, a native of West Des Moines, Iowa. Stayed home in the state to lead her program to heights Iowa, frankly, had rarely ever seen, and not at this level of success each and every year. They had made one Final Four prior to Caitlin Clark's time in Iowa. They have been to three Final Fours now consecutively for the first time in program history. They never had reached the national championship game prior to Clark. They have now been to the national title game each of the past 2 years. Caitlin Clark, Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, and a few others playing their final game as Iowa Hawkeyes yesterday. There has been a lot of debate. Frankly, I think a lot of it is silly as we try to tear down greatness that we see in front of our very eyes, but greatness is polarizing about Caitlin Clark's legacy and her impact on college basketball. Regardless of how you feel, I think it is very safe to say that Caitlin Clark's impact on this sport has elevated to heights we have never seen and had never seen prior to her, and what Caitlin Clark has done for women's college basketball, for just college hoops in general, for basketball at any level. She has left the game better than where she found it and will continue to do so in the WNBA.
And also, Ben, how about this? Doing it the hard way as well. Could it be easy in this day and age of transferring and NILs where, you know what?
Yeah.
Lost to LSU last year. We'll try to get back at Iowa. She could again. You know what? Hey, let me call Dawn Staley. Hey, Dawn, need a point guard next year. I know you lost a couple starters there. Or how about this? Hey, LSU, instead of getting a Haley Van Lift, you know, I'll come down there and play point guard for you guys. Oh, sure. And then you play with another bunch of five-star athletes and McDonald's All-Americans and you win. LeBron James would have probably done that. You can't fault him because, hey, look, I just want a ring. I want to crown my career at this point. But the fact that she stayed at Iowa and was there all 4 years and was so much fun to watch.
Yep.
Because think about the run that she had just in the last 2 years alone. She knocked off the immovable object last year just to get to the title game in South Carolina. Then this year in the Elite Eight, she knocked off LSU and then takes down UConn before having to try to beat a team that was undefeated in the final. And it was so much fun to watch all the way through. And keep an eye on this. Like over the last 25 years, and Ben, you've pointed this out, it was UConn. They're like, hey, let me know when they actually lose a game and then we'll report on it. But if not, it's such a boring game because they just dominate out here. There's so many very good college programs that you can include with Iowa. Now, we don't know where Iowa goes from here. It's hard to lose the best player maybe in the history of your sport and then try to make a run back to the Final Four in the final. We get that. But the fact that she stuck it out in Iowa, put that team on her back, and also keep in mind, it's really like the Allen Iverson effect back here for the Philadelphia 76ers. But even more importantly, she brought the entire team into the game. It's not as if she's like, well, she's going to shoot 40 times a game, not pass the ball because she doesn't think or trust her teammates. An assist leader as well. She did it all at Iowa, raised the game up, and was classy the entire way through. What a career for Caitlin Clark. And also, the WNBA players, you know, you see it out there. And what I don't understand about it, it's easy, as you pointed out, to tear down, like, you know, it's going to break my record. I don't like this or that. But the fact that she elevated the game and is moving forward, and also, I can't get back to this enough, didn't take the easy way out. All the UConn players, like, you got to win one or two. She would have won four if she went to UConn. How about that? And also, you know, like, it doesn't even make any sense the way they were talking. So shout out Caitlin Clark for doing it the right way, and rightfully so, her place on that pantheon is one of the GOATs of all time.
Absolutely so. One of the GOATs, one of the greatest to ever do it in women's college basketball, frankly, in college hoops history. She will leave as the Division I scoring leader, either men's or women's hoops, with 3,951 points. But do not say she was just good offensively or as a scorer. Third most assists all time in women's college basketball at the D1 level. The only player to have a 40-point, 10 Texas performance in an NCAA tournament game. She has two, either man or woman. She is the only player in college hoops history at the D1 level, men's or women's college basketball, to lead the country in points and assists in a single year multiple times. We could go through the records, and it would take us the rest of these 3 hours to really detail Caitlin Clark's impact in college basketball and into the record book. But I'll just finish with this. 14.2 million viewers watched UConn and Iowa in the Final Four on a Friday night. It was the most watched basketball game, NBA men's college basketball, in the history of ESPN. And I've got a feeling that yesterday's national championship game on ABC will even outdo those numbers to be the most watched women's college basketball game in the history of the sport. The impact that Caitlin Clark has left and her legacy on college basketball will be remembered very fondly for a very, very long time. Now, it's men's championship, national championship Monday here on the Early Line. But we look back before we set the stage for tonight in Phoenix on Saturday's Final Four in Phoenix, Arizona. First game up was the nightcap that we will look at, UConn and Alabama. Connecticut continues its march into a second consecutive national championship game, looking for its second straight title to be the first repeat national champion in men's college hoops since Florida did so in 2006 and 2007. And even when they get their biggest test so far, the big dance, maybe of the past two NCAA tournaments, UConn almost feels inevitable. They win by double digits, by at least 13 points for the 11th consecutive game in the NCAA tournament, 86-72 over Alabama. UConn covers the number. Once again, they cover as a 10.5 point favorite against the Crimson Tide.
Tempo was crazy. It was a lot of fun to watch. Alabama couldn't miss, it felt like, in the first half. And then you saw that first half score, 44-40. UConn still had the lead. So we knew when you get your best punch from Alabama and you still have the lead, what that precursor was going to be into the second half. But also, let's remind ourselves this. The one thing I was quite impressed with, and I did take the team total under for Alabama at 74.5, that I thought that was up in smoke 5-6 minutes into the game. Crazy how good the defense here in the second half was for UConn. But having said that, then I've always talked about the ultimate equalizer is if you could shoot at volume from three-point range and make your fair share. 48% Alabama did from 23 three-point shots. I usually say to myself, boy, you could cover that game if not win it at this point. And it just goes to show you how dominant UConn is. They can play your tempo. They can play their tempo. They can play defense. They can execute on offense. Because if you would have told me before that game, hey, Donnie, by the way, I'm not going to give you any other box score, but Alabama's going to make close to 50% of their three-point shots, I go, wow, that was the perfect storm here. UConn went down. I can't believe it here. They won by 14 points. They won and easily covered this basketball game by pulling away in the second half. That was so impressive for me to watch, where I know we're going to get the breakdown tonight of that game versus Purdue and watch it, but it just goes to show you, like, UConn doesn't have a kryptonite right now. They can beat you at whatever tempo, whatever style you want to play. And also, if you bring your A game at what you do best, like Alabama at the three-point line, will still beat you down by double digits. Unbelievable run by UConn. It's crazy, Ben.
It is truly dominant, and it is historic. 11-0 in their 11 games played in the NCAA tournament over the past two big dances. An average margin of victory of 22.3 points per game, and winning by 14, by the way, over Alabama in a national semifinal actually diminished that average margin of victory. They have covered in all 11 games. They have won by at least 13 points in all 11 games. And the cover margin on average is 13 points per game in a positive manner. And that's on the expected outcome. Again, pure domination. In fact, UConn was trailing Alabama for more minutes in the opening half than they had trailed in their previous four games in this NCAA tournament. Alabama was up 31-30 with 5 minutes remaining in those opening 20 minutes. And UConn is frankly inevitable. All five members of Connecticut's starting five on Saturday night scored in double digits, led by the freshman Stephon Castle, who only had 2 points in the Elite Eight victory over Illinois because he was shutting down Terrence Shannon Jr. He explodes for 21 points. Donovan Klingon is a game changer at the rim on the defensive end of the floor. Four blocks, four against Alabama and finished with 18 points. This UConn team has been the best we have seen in men's college basketball in the last 15 years. They look for their second consecutive national championship on this Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be great to watch it play out because we're talking about ratings here and college basketball being on good footing and an unbelievable final yesterday that they played. And they're going to have a great final tonight. Now, Ben, if you want a little bit of an analysis breakdown here is why aren't we following the lead now of the women's game? I don't mean the gameplay itself. We had a national championship game at 3 p.m. on a Sunday where the entire world was able to watch, partake, and enjoy on that. And quite frankly, from Friday night's debacle, where I very rarely saw any of the game that UConn actually got beat, so I had to actually comment in the morning, like, oh, I think that screen was off. I didn't have to do anything. I watched it easily yesterday. NCAA, you have a marquee matchup tonight. You're starting this game at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. That's a flat-out joke. That's an embarrassment. Even the college football game on Monday nights moved their time up. What are we doing, Ben? I don't know.
I would completely agree. As for Friday night, 14.2 million people still watch the most watched basketball game in the history of ESPN. But as for tonight, I would agree. 9:20, I understand you want the West Coast off working hours. But 9:20 p.m. Eastern time, we'll look back at the first game on Final Four Saturday. Purdue back to the ship for the first time in 55 years. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid, still over 12 hours away from tonight's national championship game in Phoenix, Arizona. But we look back on the Final Four on a Saturday night out in the desert. It has been the redemption tour all year long, even after a second consecutive outright Big Ten regular season championship for the Purdue Boilermakers. Their season would not be defined by 30-plus games. It would only be defined and its legacy felt by what they did in March and into April in an NCAA tournament. Could Purdue get to the Final Four for the first time in more than four decades? Check. Could Purdue reach a national championship game? Also, check. 63-50. The win for the Boilermakers in a Final Four matchup over the team that felt the most March magic in NC State. Purdue wins and covers as a 9.5-point favorite. DRS and a total at 146.5 stays well under a number. Not the prettiest offensive game, frankly, on either side to start things off on Saturday night in Phoenix, but Purdue gets to the national championship game for the first time in 55 years, 1969.
Talent rises to the occasion, and Ben and I talked about entering into this March Madness tournament that we did trust Purdue. Now, I didn't trust them to even get to the Final Four or make a national championship game, but I thought they were an Elite Eight team, which was a step up of what they'd done for two out of the past 3 years, winning multiple games in the tournament. And if they did get beat, it probably would be to a better opponent, so we thought. But in this game, NC State sort of riding that Cinderella slipper here into the Final Four, and it really ran out on them because you saw in that game, it was a tough mismatch for them. Not the biggest team overall, not the most talented team, but again, catching fire at the right point. And you also saw Purdue. They turned the basketball over, Ben, in this game 16 times. They shot 40% as a team from the floor. That'll usually get you beat in the Final Four, not win a basketball game by 13 points and cover your number. But that's what I like about this. Purdue not bringing their A game, but still handling their business. The one thing I do like about Purdue, though, is they know where their bread is butter. We'll knock down the three-point shots when we're open, and they did that. They shot 40% from the line, going 10 of 25. Yeah. But when you need buckets, they understand how to get the ball to Zach Edey, and you don't even have to force it to him because usually you're guarded by a guy that's, I don't know, typically 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and he towers him over, so you can still get the inbound plays very easily. He handles the basketball well. He can make his free throws in a game. But I love the fact that when they're coming down the stretch and they just need to put games away, they give it to Zach Edey. Now, we'll flip it over and take a look at that game and how it matches up tonight in UConn in just a little bit. But I'm impressed by Purdue. Winning when you don't have your A game is the sign of a very good basketball team. And Purdue was that on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely so. Zach Edey's still a rather pedestrian 20 points and 12 rebounds. And if that's a pedestrian stat line, then you're going to be just A-OK. And for all the foul merchants out there, He took two free throws and he made them both. Stop with your complaining. The unfortunate thing, DRS, as we expected, the monumental and seismic battle down in the post did not really live up to the hype between Edie and DJ Burns, because Burns got into foul trouble pretty early on in the opening half and early in the second 20 minutes as well. Just 8 points, one rebound, albeit four assists for DJ Burns in the national semifinal. Purdue never trailed in the game. The closest NC State got outside of 4-2 very early on was down by three late in the opening half before a Fletcher Lawyer three covered a first half number for the Boilermakers and put them up by six at the break. It never got closer than 7 points in the second half, really, from the start of those final 20 minutes. And we highlight what UConn is doing in the last two NCAA tournaments. 11 wins, a perfect 11-0 against spread. Purdue is a perfect 5-0 ATS here in this trip in the Big Dance. They have gone under in 4 of 5 games, and it is that redemption tour. It started out as a joke that I made last year and early into this college basketball season. Just twice in the history of the NCAA tournament have we ever seen a 1 seed get upset by a 16 seed. 2018 Virginia, a year ago in 2023 Purdue. What did Virginia do in 2019? They responded by winning a national championship. Purdue in 2024 is 1 win away from a national title. The redemption tour will end Purdue's path with a matchup against the most dominant team we have seen in college hoops in the last decade and a half, that being Connecticut. But Purdue has exercised its demons by getting to a Final Four. But they're not done just yet. Purdue wants to win a national championship, and they'll have a shot in the national title game we all hoped for and expected when the bracket was released just over 3 weeks ago against UConn tonight in Phoenix.
And also taking a look at UConn, I mean, they have one of those guys that possibly could defend Zach Edey one-on-one. It's very rare that anybody can match up, and as Ben pointed out, it's usually, let me get three or four bigs out there, let's all trade off our fouls, let's just not let them dominate, and it makes his free throws so big. And you saw that game against NC State, only two free throws, and they still won easily in that game. But I want to see this, and also, we know it comes down to a lot here in college basketball. In the NBA, yes, guys do foul out, but you get six fouls to work with, so you can hang in the game longer. Here's what I don't want tonight, and I know the controversy on Friday night that we saw where that illegal screen was set, it was a clear foul, but again, in that part of the moment, most people don't want to see that call, but it's unfair. You equate it to an NFL game in a Super Bowl, T.J. Watt breaks through an offensive lineman and is about to sack the quarterback, gets tackled by the fullback, nobody's complaining like, oh man, should have just let it play out at this point here, you can't call that flag. No, you can't do that. If a foul's in the first or second quarter, it's going to be a foul in the fourth quarter, but the reason I bring this up is sometimes these games are in the ref's hands, and you know how this goes out. First trip up the court, Zach Edey's going to the rim, clinging gets his arm a little bit, it's called a foul, that's number one, and maybe in the next 5 minutes he gets number two and he sits for the final 10 minutes of the first half. I just hope they can play it out, but also, the reason I'm saying this is, I don't want to hear about, like, just let them play where Kling could just beat up on Zach Edey and he scores like 14 points right, because he was hacked every play, but they never called it because, oh, it's the championship, you got to let it play out. I'm just interested to see, Ben, how they actually call this game between those two big guys.
You're going to ask, is this the college basketball national title game in 2024 or 1984? Yeah. We have not seen bigs dominate this sport at this level in a very long time, at least being the centerpieces of what their teams want to do offensively. And Donovan Klingon has been that for UConn as well. Before we look forward to the national championship game, give you our early handicaps here on the early line, but we'll spend the next 2 hours doing so as well. Let's round out this magical run for NC State that had its 9-game win streak snapped on Saturday night out in Phoenix. Just not enough in the most crucial game of the year for the Wolfpack. One of their leaders, their point guard, Michael O'Connell, injured early on. The opening half, he was never at full health again. Foul trouble was a big issue for NC State. Both DJ Burns, Mohamed Diarra, even Ben Middlebrooks, the reserve front court mate as well. DJ Horn was the only starter to score in double figures. He had 20. Jaden Taylor off the bench did pour in 11 points. But when you think about this run, I don't think NC State is a Cinderella, but they're the 6th-11th seed to make the Final Four in the history of the Big Dance. Regardless of of how you categorize them. March momentum and magic was felt. DJ Burns Jr. became an American icon and celebrity, and NC State went from losing three of their four games in the regular season, finishing just three games above 500 to end out the year with their coach Kevin Keats on a very warm seat in Raleigh, to winning five straight games in the ACC tournament, to earn an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, and not just stopping there and enjoying the trip to the big dance, but winning four straight games to get to a Final Four. This is the beauty of the tournament we categorize as madness. That is the best of what the NCAA tournament has to offer.
No, it was great to watch, too. And, also, you know, we saw some offers go out over the past week in the Big Three, which included Caitlin Clark getting $5 million. She wants to say, you know what, let's not go to the WNBA, let's go to the Big Three. Who's the perfect Big Three player? You take a look at DJ Burns Jr. It's half-court three-on-three. My man could stay out there the entire game, because it was pretty evident that game against Purdue. And quite frankly, if you watch him throughout the season, which I didn't watch a lot of regular season basketball, my guy's good. Two trips up the court. Hey, coach, man, I need a breather at this point. It would be more fun if DJ Burns be able to stay on the court the entire game and go up against Zach Edey. But come on now, that's not his game. It's not what he does. He's a lot of fun to watch. He was enjoyable all the way through, and took him over 14 and a half points here in that game against Zach Edey, which he was only able to get eight, but he shot 10 times. If you'd have told me before the game had done he's going to shoot 10 times, I probably still would have taken over that 14 and a half points here. It just wasn't meant to be, but a great run by the NC State Wolfpack, something that nobody saw coming, not even the team itself, not the coach, not the fan base at all, to get nine straight victories to end the season when you weren't making the college basketball tournament to show up in the Final Four, and you lost to Purdue. That's a really good ball club here, so good on NC State for making it that far.
Still the lowest seed we've ever seen reach the men's national championship game in the NCAA tournament is an 8. We saw FAU as a 9 seed get to the Final Four a season ago. We have seen 6 11 seeds. That's the lowest seed line to reach a Final Four, but they come up short often, of course, in the 6 times we have seen, at least in that small sample size, from a national title game. At a certain point, the March Magic just starts to dwindle out a little bit. Most people asking DJ Burns to play in the National Football League on an O-line. Donnie making a pitch to get DJ Burns into the Big Three. You think of things, and Donnie goes outside the box. So, DRS, let's talk about the national championship game that we have on this Monday. And I want to start with the line movement. Early hypothetical matchups in the game that seemed most likely by the time we got to the Elite Eight and the Final Four had UConn as a 5.5-point favorite, maybe a 4.5-point favorite. Now Connecticut is a 6.5-point favorite. After Purdue won in the Final Four on Saturday, UConn's price to win the title, money line, as you see there, now minus 295, was minus 185, and Purdue was plus 160. What do you make of the market movement we have seen just from the conclusion of the Final Four on Saturday?
I think we talked on Friday and had the right conclusion here, depending on how these games ended up. And it's no knock on Purdue. They won by double digits and covered the spread. But when you're talking about a team like UConn that continues to beat good opponents here and by double digits every round, and also Alabama played a good basketball game, you're left at the end of it saying, wait a second, if Alabama played that well technically and still got beat by double digits, what the heck is Purdue going to do? And also, you're looking at the matchup. Let's just say if, you know, UConn was just four guards in a center that was like 6'6 because he was athletic, you'd say, uh-oh, here we go, Purdue's got a good matchup. You have the ultimate equalizer on one side in Donovan Clingan, with maybe the best four players outside of Clingan already on his team. And everybody does something special. Did you see the box score on Saturday night? All starters well into double digits. There's nothing UConn doesn't do well, which includes, oh, no, it's the biggest stage. They're going to get scared. They just won the national championship last year like a buzzsaw as well. Yeah. I agree with the line movement, and it's going to be hard-pressed to say, like, I don't think Purdue can win, but they can say inside the number. I don't think that's the case because Connecticut's MO is, oh, look at that, a 6.5-point spread. Bing, double-digit win. Let's move forward and cut down the nets.
Dan Hurley does not stop, never will stop. It is his motor and his engine and the inventive fire that he can have at time to be that master motivator for Connecticut. We have talked often on UConn's run to a second consecutive national championship game. Is there a team somewhere else in the bracket that presents a challenge to UConn that would have a matchup advantage over Dan Hurley's Huskies? The answer was no. The answer still is no. Purdue is probably the second best team in this NCAA NCAA tournament, and I believe they are fit for a national title test against Connecticut. But I don't think there's anything Purdue does exceptionally well that UConn is not ready for. We'll talk about this game later on in our next 2 hours. We round out this opening hour next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around the majors as we go right here on this Monday morning, recapping the second weekend of an MLB season in 2024. Baseball is happening. There are three teams, DRS, that have 8 wins this year in MLB. The Dodgers have 8. They've played the most games, 12. The Yankees off to an 8-2 start. Another good weekend up in the Bronx in the home openers against the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's right, the Dodgers, the Yankees. Okay, cool. You guys have the best records in the bigs. But the Pittsburgh Pirates off to an 8-2 start as well. Not a bad weekend around the majors.
No, wasn't a bad week around the majors unless you're looking at injuries here. Maybe one of the injuries, Ben, that could be looking forward could be devastating. That's the Atlanta Braves and Spencer Strider. Looks like there's a possibility of Tommy John surgery. He had one in 2019. He's probably one of the more dominant, if not the dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball. That'd be a massive shakeup here in the NL if he can't go. But again, the Braves seemingly don't care about pitching. Why? Because they hit 65 home runs and scored 20 runs every single game. They'll just out-hit you. But that was an important ingredient over the weekend. But I'd like to see the standings. There's a lot of shocks here. And as we pointed out, Ben, a lot of these teams don't really know they're bad at baseball just yet. So the good vibes are flowing out here. Right. Teams are playing good baseball in environments we're not used to. 30 degrees, 40 degrees, 50 degrees, winds blowing in and out, rain, some snowy conditions. I've been enjoying Major League Baseball season. And also, the RBI has been popping already. And I don't even have any stats to go off of.
Which is good. Even in April, we're seeing some offensive output. The Braves, who did get that bad news around Spencer Strider, still at the top of the National League East. A 3-0 win yesterday for Atlanta, or a 3-0 series win, a sweep, the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was really the story, though, of this Major League Baseball weekend. The action off the diamond. Both Spencer Strider, who looked is going to undergo Tommy John for the second time in the National League, and Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Guardians will also undergo Tommy John surgery as well. Strider entered this year a very short favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award as compared to the rest of the field. Now it's Philly's Zach Wheeler who has the best price, plus 550 around the association to start our second hour in 55 seconds.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.